give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. Bring light to the darkness. You give hope and you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry.
After Jesus had been to the cross, been resurrected, he gathered his disciples and he said this: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Therefore go. Go. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God, but if you have a relationship with Jesus, you and I are called to go. It is not optional. It's not a suggestion. It is a command of Jesus. We're starting a two-week series today simply called Go. We have a mission strategy at Calvary. Over the last year plus, our leaders have been praying and praying and seeking the face of God and saying, God, just how do you want us to make local and global impact? We feel like God has given us more clarity than ever before in how we're doing that. We have been a church that's going, we are going now, and we will continue to go. Specifically, over the next 5 years, we want God to do just a powerful work through our church family. We feel and believe God has called us to plant at least 5 brand new churches or campuses over the next 5 years. Jesus came into the world to offer the hope of God, to show us the way to God's heart. And the establishment that he created was the church. not an organization, but a gathering of his followers who are committed to his mission. And we will be committed to doing what the early disciples did. They went and they preached and they started new churches and they started new movements of God in communities in need of hope. We are committed to doing this. We are committed to the next generation of church leaders. If the world is going to change through the hope of Jesus being proclaimed through churches, there have to be high quality leaders ready and prepared to lead the way in the church. We are committed to raising up the next generation of church leaders locally and globally. And we are committed to reaching the next generation of believers. It's not just our ones and all of our life, our friends that we are reaching out into their lives, but we also know this. Statistically, if someone does not have a favorable impression of who Jesus is before the age of 18, the chances of them ever receiving Jesus into their life after age 18 dramatically drops. We believe God is calling us to do strategic work locally and globally to help see at least 500 children and teens say yes to Jesus for the first time ever in their life through our intentional work. Our team that just got back from Bosnia, by the way, our creative team, they shot all that video, everything that you saw they did. And they went and they did that quality of work for the team that we have that is working to plant a new church in Bosnia, in an area of the world that is impoverished spiritually and in need of hope. Over the next few years, you're going to be hearing more and more about this and ways to engage. I specifically want to invite you, if God has been stirring something inside you where you're saying, hey, I've just been sitting on the sidelines. I go to church all the time, but all I do is I just go and I take. I just sit and I take and then I leave. But if you want to be a part of what Jesus said, he says, go and make. And you have not yet found that place where you would serve. Next Sunday night, May 28th at 6:30 p.m. in room 302 of the Bellevue North campus. 6:30 p.m. next Sunday night, room 302 of Bellevue North. We are holding a meeting, a special gathering of people who are saying, hey, I want to get engaged in going. Specifically, how can I help start new churches? You might wonder what you can do. Come to the meeting. Let us tell you about it. How can I be a part of helping create the next generation of church leaders? How can I be a part of reaching more kids for Christ than ever before? I want to invite you to come to that. Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about this idea of go. And I want to challenge each and every one of you. Some of you, yeah, you're just starting your walk with Jesus. Some of you aren't sure about Jesus. But if you have a walk with Jesus or you're just beginning to walk with him, I want you to understand this. God has created you for purpose and meaning. We are called to go. Today we're going to talk about why we go. Next week we're going to talk about where we as a church are going. And today I want you to prepare your hearts and minds to hear God's word. And to do so, ask Jason Epperson to come share this message, why we go. So let's give a warm Calvary welcome to Jason Epperson. Thanks, man.
What's going on, everybody? How y'all doing? You good? Good, good, good. Everybody, everywhere, all the Calvary Nation, isn't that what we call it now? As we should. We haven't ever. We're starting. It's Calvary Nation. Okay? No, man, I'm excited to be here. It was a good trip up, actually. This time, driving here, it was me and my three children and three pigs in the back of my truck. It's a true story. Can't even make that up. Sounds like a nursery rhyme, but it's not. It's real. And so my wife is back in Louisville because we're expecting our fourth. I didn't leave her there 9 months pregnant, but we're adopting a child, and so the baby could be born any day. And so she's back there chilling, relaxing, while I'm slaving away with three kids and three pigs. It's been crazy. So, but hey, let me pray for us, and then we'll get rolling. Man, God, you're so good. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the church globally. Thank you so much for Calvary, and just what a blessing she is to all of us in this room, as well as just my family and just this community. And God, I pray that you will give me words you desire for me to say, take away things I have planned you don't want me to. God, we want a oneness of spirit across all of the campuses so that we can see your face and see kind of what you have for us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So this sermon series is called Go, and today I'm talking about why we go. And any of you who know me real well, like, having me preach a sermon on go is kind of like exciting for me. It's one of those things where I've been thinking about it all week long. I'm pretty pumped about it. But in the process of thinking about it, so after we drive my kids and the pigs this far, we dropped the kids off in Omaha, and then we headed to Iowa because my nephew's graduation. And on the way there, he was running in the state track meet. And I don't know about you guys, but when you go to a state track meet, you kind of remember the good old days when you used to run track too. And so all that stuff's in my brain. But watching my nephew, he was running the 4x100 meter relay as well as in a medley relay. And I was sitting on the first curb because he ran the first leg. I see everybody in the blocks. And of course, I'm always writing a sermon. Like, that's how my brain thinks. So be careful what you say to me. It might make it into a sermon. And so, but as this is happening, I see the gun go up and on your mark, it's set. And then boom, the gun goes off and go. And instantly I'm thinking, what would happen if a dude or a gal just stayed there? Like, what would happen? You know, they're in the blocks. I would do it, but I'd probably split my pants, and so I'm not going to do it. But what would happen if the, you know, the gun goes off, boom, everybody takes off, and the 4x100, let's say. They take off, and there's this brother just like, boom, just staring straight ahead. Everybody like, bro, go, go. Can you imagine the second runner screaming their name? Go, come on, run. And he's just like, chilling. And then eventually, after everyone finishes the race, like, they walk up to him like, why didn't you run? He's like, man, I just was afraid I'd false start. I was really pretty comfortable. I just didn't feel like it. And I thought, huh, in the church today, why is it that us church folk, we give our lives to Christ, and we still wonder what our purpose is? We give our lives to Christ, and we still feel unfulfilled. We give our lives to Christ, and we still wonder what's next. We give our lives to Christ, we worry about things that people who don't know Jesus worry about. And I realize the reason that all those things happen to us, it's because we're still in the blocks. Like, how unfulfilling is it to be in the state track meet and not run? And I just think today, guys, before we start, you need to hear me say is that I am convicted as by this passage is that we're going to look at as anybody, but I'm convicted. And I think that today, all of us in this room, no matter what you're doing in your world, when you see what God's word says about this, it's pretty clear. The reality is when we give our lives to Christ, we're not giving our lives to sitting and listening. We are giving ourselves to going and making. That's what we're giving our lives to. The gospel itself is a movement. It's not something for us. It's something for all. And so there's a passage in Jeremiah that kind of summed up my thoughts on it that I'm just going to read before we start. And for those of you who love it on the screen, the rest of the scripture is on the screen, just not this one. So leave me alone. Okay. Send your emails to Scott, addressed, I hate the other guy. So, Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, it says this. But if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more of his name. So Jeremiah is tired of getting beaten up. He's tired of no one listening. He's tired of feeling like everyone around him thinks differently than him. He's a prophet. And so this is what Jeremiah says. I'll not mention him. I'm not going to talk about God. He doesn't say, I'm not going to still love him. I'm not going to still, like, believe in him. But he's like, I'm done mentioning his name or speak any more of who he is. It'd be like us saying, I'm going to come to church on Sunday. I'm going to sing songs. I might even put my hand in the air occasionally. I'm going to put money in the offering plate. I'm going to take communion. I'll even serve occasionally. But when it comes to in my workplace, when it comes to in my neighborhood, when it comes to when I'm deployed, when it comes to when I'm at the gym, I ain't saying nothing. I'm just going to stay in the blocks. But the passage describes how every Christian, Christ follower, should feel. So if you in this room or me in this room, us, feel like we're kind of like, I'm tired of it not working, I'm going to be silent, this is what it should feel like. His word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. It's like if you can be silent and there's not something in you that just wants to scream how much you love him or show someone how much you care, then the question is not should you or shouldn't you. The question is, have you been enlightened to who God is, or have you been caught on fire to who God is? See, what enlightened to God means is like you believe. It'd be like, it's, say, if I got my three kids, and my three kids, like, I believe I'm their father, but I'm going to leave them at the truck stop. But I'm their dad. But I don't care about them. I ain't going to feed them. Feed yourself. Take care of yourself. But man, I believe, hear me say, I believe they're my kids. They look like me. Except for the one. It's a little weird. But anyway, I believe they're my kids. And see, this is the deal, guys, is I think probably most of you in this room, most of us in this room, we believe in God. We believe Jesus came. We believe he's the Son of God. We believe. Just like we believe those are our kids who are. He doesn't call you to believe that way. He calls you to care. Because what you care about, you fight for. What you care about, you serve. What you care about, you love. See, when you are enlightened to who God is, you believe, I believe there's a God. I love to learn more about him. Enlightenment didn't work so well, you remember? But when you have a fire in your belly for other people knowing who he is, you can't be quiet. That's what it says. So today I'm going to give you some reasons why we should go. Why we should go. Now, there's actually about 4 billion reasons. Those 4 billion reasons, everyone has a name. And there's over 4 billion people in our world today that don't know who he is. That don't believe in him. I'm only going to give you 5 because I only have like 18 minutes left. Okay? So I'm going to give you 5 reasons today why we should go. So you tracking with me? Okay, let's do it. So the first reason is the scripture. We're going to throw it on the screen. And the first reason of that is, it's found in John 3:16. It's the verse that lots of you have memorized. If you haven't memorized it, you should. It's a good one. It says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." First, like, missionary journey. Guess what? Jesus. Gave him. "That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." This word belief here is not like, I left my kids at the truck stop belief. This is a belief of like, I dedicate my life to. This is not a belief of, yeah, I believe there's a chair. The belief that says, I believe there's a chair, you also sit on the chair. You trust the chair. You with me? You care. That's the kind of belief he's talking about. So whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So here's the deal. The one reason why we should go is because he went. He's come. He is a God who goes. From the very beginning, when sin came into the world in Genesis, what did he say? I'm going to send my son. I'm going to go. He left, figuratively, walking on streets that are gold. He walked, he left being tended by angels. He left having he left complete and utter bliss, comfort. To be born into the Middle East to a 14-year-old girl in a stable. Wrapped in dirty old clothes, lion or animals eat. He went. And when he was on this earth, why did he come? He came, one, to die for your sins, yes. To raise from the dead, yes. But he also came to understand us. The God of all creation cares enough about you, he wants to know what it's like to live on this earth. He knows what it's like to be the most popular in class. He knows what it's like to be the kid who's picked on. He knows what it's like to everyone wonder who his daddy is. He knows what it's like to lose his earthly father at a young age. He knows what it's like for his siblings to make fun of him. He knows what it's like to have plenty. He knows what it's like to have no place to lay his head. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to be isolated, and he knows what it's like to be surrounded by people. He knows what it's like to worry. Why? Because he was worried at times. He knows what it's like to feel guilt. He knows what it's like to feel shame. Why? Because he felt it on the cross. See, he felt your next morning just like he felt mine. He felt when I say sin and you think of that, he feels that. He feels your worries, your anxieties, your pains, your depression. He felt it. He died to it. He actually felt death, and none of you will feel it. And he felt it for you. Then he rose from the dead. You know what else he did when he was on this earth? He came as a missionary in order to teach us how to walk in the Spirit. Do you guys know that? He says in John that you will do greater things than him. It's not what would Jesus do, it's what did he do? What am I going to do? It's our turn to run that race. The next passage I want to look at, it's the next reason. So the first reason is Jesus was a missionary. The second one is in Matthew 28:19. Scott already read it. It says, therefore go. Before therefore, it's like, I've got all authority. Can you imagine? God is saying, Jesus is saying, I've got all authority in the world. It'd be like the president of the world standing up saying, I've got all the authority in the world, and I'm going to tell you one thing. The same authority that raised people from the dead, the same authority that parted the Red Sea, the same authority that literally created the heavens and the earth, that kind of authority resided in him. And this is what he says, because I got that kind of authority, therefore go. Y'all, I put the y'all in there because I like saying it. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He did not say, therefore, I want you to gather every week and sit and listen to this dude. He did not say, therefore, I need you to just be quiet and do what's right. Therefore, I want you to post random crazy things on Facebook. Therefore, he didn't say that. He said, therefore, go. As you go to work, as you go to school, as you go to the gym, as you go to games, as you jump on an airplane, as you jump on a boat, as you send your resources and send your prayers, I'd want you to go. See, the thing is sometimes in the church we talk about, man, Jason, I'm just looking for depth. I want something deep. You want deep? Move. Depth comes from movement. It doesn't come from sitting and listening. People drink more water when they're running. God's given us our bodies to teach us about our souls. You want to understand more about God? Go. Talk to people, love people, serve people. Or you can be enlightened, but when you're enlightened, you can be quiet. But when you go, there's a fire that's birthed in your body. The next thing I want to say about that is there's three words that we say in Scripture a lot: faith, hope, and love. You with me? You've heard those before, I hope. You've probably seen them on someone's wall. Faith, hope, and love in the church today have become nouns. And I think God intended them to be verbs. Man, babe, when I walk in the house, man, babe, I love you. As I walk by the dishes. Man, babe, I love you. You look great. As I don't clean up the mess on the floor. Man, babe, I love you as the grass is so high, I'm like walking through a field in my yard. Man, babe, I love you. What's for dinner? My wife's like, what kind of love are you talking about? Because the love in this house helps with the dishes. The love in this house mows grass. The love in this house helps to kill you. With me? Man, we love our neighbors. Hear me say that. I'm going to say this real quick. This is going to be really, really, get your feet ready. Man, I love my neighbor, but I've never talked to them about Jesus. Man, I love my neighbor, but I've never invited them over for a barbecue. Man, I love my neighbor, but I'm unwilling to sacrifice anything in my world, and if their dog does something in my yard, I go crazy. Man, I've got hope. I've got hope that Jesus is going to come back, but I store up all my treasures for this earth. Man, I've got hope that there's a heaven, but all I focus on and all I worry about is the things I can control. You tracking? Faith, hope, and love are actions. The next passage we're going to look at is 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. There is two kinds of children in this world, okay? Two kinds of children. There is children that have been set free. There's children that have been set free and are living on mission with God. They're going. They're us, I hope. Then there's other children in this world that are still enslaved and they've been captured. They're prisoners of war. You with me? But they're all God's children. Just because they disagree with you on Facebook and you like unfriend them doesn't make them less children of God. Just because they believe different things than you, just because they're from different countries, just because that when the Olympics we pray that they lose, like just because they're different than you does not mean they're not children of God. But there's two different kinds of children of God. There's children of God who've been set free and know his name, and there's children of God that are still enslaved to sin. They don't know his name. I'm going to put my three kids up on the screen here. Here's my three. That's Kate. That's Abe. That's Bo. That is when we found out that the boy that we're, the baby we're adopting is a boy. That was the day. Kate acts excited here, but when she found out it was another boy, she cried. Okay? It's okay. She's happy about it now because she's the only princess in the house. So, but I got four kids. I'm still waiting on that fourth one to get here. We're excited about that. But here's the deal. I'm just telling you, and I've said this to you before, but right now, if I'm preaching this sermon and I find out that one of my kids is missing or has been captured, if I see some dude walk in this room and grab my kid, throw him underneath his arm, and start running out the door, and one of you brothers don't try to stop him, then after I catch that brother, I'm coming after you. Listen, you with me? Someone tries to take my kids, man, it's on like Donkey Kong. I mean, it's... If someone took my kid and we couldn't find my kids, do you think I'd finish this sermon? No. Do you think that I'd be like, man, come up here, let's sing another worship song? Do you think it'd be like, hey, man, let the campus pastor talk. I'll wait till he's done. I don't want to interrupt. No. I would look at you and I'd say, hey, we got to go. We got to go. We need to join arms, start walking the streets. We got to go. Y'all, those are his kids. Your neighbor you don't like, the coworker you don't like, the nationality that you struggle with, the person that you're racist towards, the person you don't understand their sexuality or their preferences or whatever. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. That's his kid. And they need to be loved into the submission of being set free. Or we can stay in the blocks. And we can wonder what our purpose is. We can come to church thinking that some dude's going to stand on a stage and make you feel better. The next reason is found in Luke chapter 10. Says this, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is Jesus being asked, what's the greatest of these commandments? And he says, love. So why should we go? We should go because he went. Why should we go? Because he commanded us. Why should we go? Y'all, because they're his kids. And the fourth reason is, why should we go? Because love should compel us. Who is the one that told you? Who is the one that introduced you to this saving power? If you knew that you had a cure for whatever disease or whatever hardship you could, and you just decided only to share it with a couple people, you with me? Because, man, I'm just afraid of how they're, I don't want to make them feel bad. Feel bad, y'all. I'll tell you what feels bad is not knowing the hope of Jesus. Tell you what feels bad is the selfishness that it takes to deny someone the gift of who he is. Tell you what feels bad is sitting in the blocks when you've been created to run. Love should compel us. That's why people throughout history, literally they used to make coffins. Young people. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, would make coffins, and they would pack all their belongings in these coffins, and they would get on ships, and they would go to parts of the world where no one knew who Jesus was. Why did they pack all their stuff in coffins? Because they knew they weren't coming home. You know what they didn't worry about? Their cable bill. You know what they didn't worry about? Man, is my neighbor going to be offended by me loving them? You know what they didn't worry about? What people thought. You know what they didn't worry about? If they could just afford that new pair of shoes or that next car. Are you tired? You know what? I'm just going to be honest. I'm tired of worrying about what people think. Aren't you tired too? You can nod your heads. Don't say it out loud because you're going to feel dumb, but nod your heads. You're with me. You're tired. You're tired. And the reason that we're tired of worrying about what people think, because instead of packing our coffin to go, Our coffins have become the chairs we sit in church. This is no longer in our country a place of sending and mobilization. It's our destination. Our coffin has become our lazy boy. Our coffin has become our comfort. And you were created and I was created to run. Don't you want to run? Don't you want to feel freedom? Don't you want to not worry? Then care about things that matter. That's the last one we're going to put up on the screen. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6. It says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Why do you put on armor? For a fight. Next verse. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. See, our battle on this earth is not against people with different viewpoints than us. Our battle on this earth is not against people with different preferences than us. Our battle on this earth is not against a neighbor who plays their music too loud or starts their car too early. Our battle in this world is not against a political party. Our battle in this world is not of people of different genders or different sexes or different whatever. That's not our battle. Our battle in this world is against the principalities and the dark forces in this world, and our mission is the same people we're battling against. Our mission is to go. Our mission is to love. Our weapon is prayer, and our the way we do it is through love. We have to love people into the submission of understanding who he is. Y'all, there is a battle. You read about it this week in your Bible reading plan, the life of David and David fighting Goliath. What would have happened if David would have walked up to the battle and hid behind a rock like all the other brothers? I'm tired of hiding. You tired of hiding? Tired of wondering who else is going to talk to that person? You guys, you will fight for your kids to make a team. You'll fight for the higher paycheck. You will enslave yourselves to the comforts of this world. You care so much about gathering things and stuff. I do too. Hear me. We do this every single day, and then we wonder why we're not fulfilled. It's time for us to fight for the only thing that matters. In the end, when he comes back, y'all, there's only one thing that matters. That is the eternal destination of the children of God. There's a quote I want to share with you guys. It's by Jim Elliot. He was in college when he wrote this quote. And fast forward, he writes this quote in his journal. He goes off to Ecuador, flies in there, starts to talk to you about Jesus, killed. 2 years later, his wife and his family went back to the same tribe that killed him, shared the love of Jesus with him. Why? Because the person who killed her husband is not the enemy. That chief, that tribe comes to know Jesus. The other man that was killed, this Mr. Saint, his grandson's one of my buddies. Legacies have been changed all over the world because he is no fool to lose what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. Why is it? He is no fool to lose what he cannot keep. Why is it that every moment of our days we spend worried and stressed and pursuing things, listen to me, we can't take with us? Why is it when we sit with our kids, we're more consumed with a phone or a game? Why is it when we walk into our house, we shut our garage door as fast as we can because we want to catch this next episode? Listen to me, the TV, you don't win it. Why is it that when we walk down the streets, we're consumed with something in front of us that we have no control over, and the people all around us, they just need to be loved? Guys, he's calling us to go. He's calling you to give a rip. And the problem is, Lots of us are still in the blocks because we're afraid we're going to false start. You know, I remember the first time I ran in the Drake Relays. It's a long time ago. And I remember I was in the 4x100 meter relay, and I ran second leg. Ran it 4 years, second leg all 4 years. And I remember my junior year, we were really good. And the guy takes off, we called him Goose. Goose took off. I remember he hit the mark. I turned off. I started to sprint. He yelled, stick, put my hand back. Boom, I grabbed that. Started going. I remember passing a dude, passing another dude. I get to the next guy. His name was Drew. I yelled, stick. His hand went back. Boom. He took off. We were in lane three. I remember Drew passing that dude in lane four. Then I remember when I went to this kid named Jeff. Drew yells, stick. Jeff hands goes back, catches it. He's sprinting. Crowd. You with me? The crowd starts to rise up. Jeff, fast as he can, runs, crosses the finish line. And I remember thinking, we won. And I'm jumping around, jumping up and down, going crazy, looking around, people looking, thinking they're going to be looking at me. The only brother they're looking at is the dude who crossed that finish line. Jesus started this thing, y'all. He took off. When he went into heaven, he said, go and make disciples. He yelled, stick, and he handed it to Peter. He handed it to James. He handed it to John. He handed it to Paul. You with me now? They took that stick and poof, they're running. Then they handed it to this brother named Luther or Calvin or Huss or Alexander. Boom. They took it. They started running around that curve. And now, they're yelling stick. And my hand is going back. And it's our turn to grab that baton. It's our turn to finish the race, y'all. It's our turn to bring back a coming king. It's our turn to cross a finish line, hear the roar of thunder shouting. It's our turn to hear a trumpet blast. It's our turn to see Christ, to see victory. It's our turn for every knee to bow, for every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Y'all, we've got next. It's our turn. It's our turn to run. And the problem is, they're yelling stick, and we're just turning and looking at them saying, I don't want to run. It could happen in our generation if we run, if we go, or we can sit, listen, and worry. Or we can be consumed with ourselves. I don't know about you. I was created to fight. I was created to run. God's put a fire in my belly, and I ain't gonna let it be put out. Today, as we come into a time of communion, the challenge is simple. Communion's in different stations around the room. As you take this bread and take this juice, I just want to say, Jesus, thank you for winning. Thank you for winning. Thank you that we're on a team that wins. And God, help me go. Help me go into my neighborhood. Help me go into my school. Help me go into a different country. Some of you young college students, when you graduate from college, don't get a job here. Go to Saudi Arabia. They're looking for business people right now. They don't care if you're Christians. Come on. Go to closed countries and practice medicine. Go to places that don't know the gospel. Or stay in this community and love people and send up. Listen to me, but we got to go. The mission is not accomplished by us sitting in our coffins. It's time for us to rise up. It's time for us to be the church. It's time for us to go and make and not sit and listen. And today in communion, this isn't a moment in communion where it's feel bad. It's not a moment of communion where you're, this is a moment of communion to say, God, you've won. I want to join the race. I'm in. I want next. I want to run. Let's pray. God, you're good. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. I pray you put people on our hearts in this room that need you. I pray that you will open up our eyes to the mission you have for us. Lord, I just am overwhelmed by who you are. I'm overwhelmed that you call me son. I'm overwhelmed that you rescued me. I'm overwhelmed that there's a day when the clouds will part. God, thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our King. Thank you for being our Creator. Lord, we love you more than anything else in this world. And we pray that you find us faithful. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.